Hello and welcome to the Catbird Speaks, the podcast for the Catbird Seat blog, the White Sox affiliate for the ESPN Sweet Spot Network. I am Matt Adams in Arizona. With me today in Elkhart, Indiana.
Yes!
James Fegan.
Indiana. Gun.
And recently relocated again to Madison, Wisconsin, Ethan Spalding.
What's up, guys?
How long was your winter break?
A month. I've been back at school for 2 weeks.
What to say, it's the frickin' 28th of January.
I got back on MLK.
That was a while ago.
It's 2 weeks ago. I've only had 2 weeks of class.
2 weeks of life when you're old feels like an eternity.
Oh, it feels like a long time, too. Like, for me, like, I know people in my classes and my professors now.
I think Suspettus was a free agent when you got back to school.
Yeah, you know what I've had for my entire time back at school, though? A staph infection.
Oh. Where? Yeah,
on my face. How did you not see me tweet about this?
That thing, right.
It's mostly gone now, but it was really bad for a while. And my whole face was swollen.
So what happened? You just got, like, some sort of bacteria in your face?
I had, like, a big-ass zit on my face that was filled with bacteria, apparently. And then it, like, made my whole face swell up.
That's a conversation starter.
Yeah. And, yeah, I didn't... I guess I brought it up, didn't I? But...
Well, now yeah, that's on first, record.
That's how I've introduced myself to all the new people in all my classes. I'm the kid with the big-ass, puffy face, swollen and everything.
Like, hi, I'm Ethan. Hey, Ethan. What's that?
Yeah, one of my friends told me to call it Jane.
Do people point it out, or they just try to, like, you know,
if I'm
be nice?
No, because I don't know anyone. Like, if, like... Or, like, none of my new people that I know in my classes are... So, if I knew some... Like, people that I know would ask about it, but people who I don't know aren't going to be like, what's that on your face?
So, the big staph infection that everyone is noticing on the White Sox roster is the right field situation.
I was waiting for someone to try that weak-ass segue, too.
Yeah, I just rode that segue right off the cliff. Yeah, they still haven't signed anybody. Dexter Fowler is kind of like the only real, like, clear upgrade option left, and he's just kind of malingering out there. And
hey, there's Austin Jackson.
Austin Jackson is like a test that any, like, competent major leaguer would be an upgrade more than, like, is an exciting player to add to your team.
So I spent a couple minutes this afternoon looking up some late signings that have happened in years past.
Tadahito.
And Nelson Cruz didn't sign until, like, February 22nd or something like that.
That's the Orioles one, right?
Not the right, Orioles and the one. Yeah, and that one. And that's,
is there any, like super stud who's, like, recovering from a PED suspension we can snatch up, I guess?
My point is, it's like, that's a month away, and we're already dying for something to get done here.
But as James pointed out, Nelson Cruz was kind of exceptional. You don't really see, like, multi-year deals stretch out this far. Like, that was a one-year rebound deal.
Yeah, the only one I saw in that, well, Bourne and Shields had February 12th or something like that. And they had multi-year deals for both of them.
Bourne was that's a good comp because that's a guy whose market kind of stalled because of the QO.
Yeah, Fowler's a much better hitter than Bourne ever was, though.
Well, considering the situation and how his market has changed, the quality offer kind of leans towards him going back with the Cubs now since they're in the mix, right? And then they wouldn't have to give up their own pick to themselves.
I'm not convinced that that article isn't, like, an agent. Like, the article was a Levine article that said the Cubs were winning, but that sounds like exactly what an agent would say to someone who is trying to gas the market, because it doesn't really make sense for the Cubs to do it. Right now they got three outfielders. What are they going to do? Move? They'd have to move Soler or Schwarber. I don't think they had, like, there's no talk of them being in deep talks with the Rays for Odorizzi. I don't really know how many pitchers on the market really match up for Soler at this point. Anyway, so I don't know. I don't really buy that the Cubs are the leaders for that right now.
I mean, it didn't seem like they're actively pursuing it. It just seems like, well, he's got to go somewhere, and no one else seems apt to jump and lose the draft pick for Fowler right now.
The White Sox should be.
They should. I don't necessarily want them to do it for Fowler to be a one-year stopgap, and I don't know why they don't want to like sign Fowler for at least a decent period of time. It's not like there's some outfielder that he's blocking. It's not like Mick Rodolfo is going to be like the opening day 2017 guy.
That'd be something, wouldn't it?
It'd probably be like really terrible, but
that'd be an Adrian Nieto-esque leap.
Yeah, because he's like part of the thing with Adrian Nieto is he's already like 24.
So Adrian Nieto was like really terrible.
Yeah, yeah,
he came out of A ball as a catcher. I mean, I didn't understand it was like what was it? It was like a Rule 5 situation or something. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I remember looking up and Tadahito being a guy they signed after Sox Fest, and you know that is good historical precedent behind it.
They won a World Series,
especially for a 1 year stopgap.
He was 2 years.
Well, kind of.
He was didn't 3 years.
I mean, he was here for 2 years.
Wasn't he here through 07? Like,
I guess he got traded in 07.
He got traded like at the deadline, and then Danny Rashard started at second base. I went to the first day after the Tadahito Higuchi era ended, and Danny Rashard was starting at second base. And Danny Rashard was really bad. Like, really, really bad.
Did he homer like his first game or something?
Not at the game I was at, I don't think.
Didn't he homer like once in his career, at least? That's something.
Traded for Ken Griffey. Him and there's not many people who can say that. Mike Cameron can. Nick Massett can. Yeah.
So do we think what do we think the Sox are gonna do?
I honestly have no clue.
I feel like if they really like Flower, I mean, it's really been a long time since their last like major step in their offseason. They've had plenty of time for like to realize Fowler is what's left. His market is down. I don't know what else they could be waiting on. And the trade market for Colorado outfielders probably just closed up because, I mean, they still got three lefties and are completely insane, but they did kind of like get rid of a spare guy.
Fowler just seems really obvious and to the point that we can sit here and you just have to wonder what hold up could possibly be. Like, you need to do something.
It seems as obvious as Frazier did.
Right. And Hans even acknowledged that, like, hey, Abascal, maybe he's not so good.
But he's right. Making sales calls! He's calling till he's ticket holders! Of all the freaking guys you could pick!
Yeah, that was a really, it's a really weird way to troll season ticket holders.
Like, Todd Frazier just landed in town. He tweeted about it. I'd love to hear from Todd Frazier. Why do you want to hear from Abascal of anybody? Like, Todd Frazier would be like, oh, this is new player. It's going to be a new year. It's going to be freaking exciting as hell. Not like Abascal's like having like your ex call you and like try to beg you to come back. That's not exciting. That's not a fun phone call.
That's pretty exciting in a way. Maybe not. A fun phone call,
like,
but it
raises your blood up, I guess. It's exciting.
I mean, it's really more like your ex calling to make sure that you're happy with your new partner. You know, if we're assuming that Abascal's on the way
partner
out.
Stuck with Abascal.
Oh, you're single then? Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, that's what Abascal's doing, basically.
Tim Anderson's in town. Why can't they have him do calls?
Can he just play future in his sales pitches and then alienate half the fan base?
Half. Maybe two-thirds. Of the season ticket holder base.
That's true.
That decision is baffling to me.
And the beats have started saying, oh, Avi's confident, so I really hope that I really hope it's not teams trying to sell fans on him for his right fielder.
Yeah, so let's talk about that with Abascal's confidence. And I mean, they're like, well, what is it that's different? And he just said, well, I have something, or something like that. He just said something very vague that meant nothing at all.
It sounded like what a GM would say to a beat reporter when he had something up his sleeve that he wanted to surprise teams with. Not a player. Not a player who should be getting replaced.
I mean, if you watch him at the plate, his aggression kind of indicates he's always very confident.
Except he never swings upwards on the ball, which I don't get.
I mean, he's going to be around. I mean, if he theoretically signed Dexter Fowler, your designated hitter is still, like, some test between, or platoon of LaRoche and Abisail, or some test between them of which one isn't a total flop. So it's not like he's not going to be on the team or not going to be in the organization. It's just, like, putting him dead center seems like, what response are you hoping to get? Like, why is that what you're, like, showing to the world? Why is that, like, what you're, like, hitting home as trying to drive up enthusiasm to, like, fans?
Maybe they are actually, like, they know fans are going to react negatively to this. Like, they know that fans will react negatively to the beat reporter saying, oh, yeah, he's confident. They know fans will react negatively to him calling, and then they'll surprise everyone at Sox Fest with a signing of Dexter Fowler. Just like, ha, we tricked you. You thought you were going to get Avi. We thought, I don't know.
I mean, they're secret enough to do that, but they're also not, like, I don't know, showy like that.
I can't really see. I can't see Rick Hahn, like, deriving a great deal of joy by tricking everyone into thinking, oh man, obviously.
There are definitely GMs who would do that, but. Or who would think that's funny. I don't think Hahn's one of them, though.
Oh, well, it's like a great thing for, like, Abisail either.
That's true.
Like, he's on stage, and like, and here's one more guy we're introducing, Dexter Fowler, and Abisail just gotta, like, stand there.
Well, it's push him off the stage.
Dramatic.
And they, like, arrange and have him, like, stand in front of Abisail so you can't see him anymore.
Yeah. Can we stop talking about Abisail? Is there anything else we can talk about?
It's, like, the major topic.
It's the only thing to talk about, but I don't like he's so bad. He's really, really bad.
Well, we can talk about how Abisail being there obviously makes us want to only talk about that, and it kind of hides the fact that we are going into the season with Tyler Saladino. And we could possibly use some help at the back end of the bullpen.
I don't think there's really a bullpen addition.
I mean, I meant the rotation, not the bullpen.
I mean, you got frickin', what's his face? Matt Albers back. What more do you want?
Yeah, no, I'm good with the bullpen. I'm almost always good with the bullpen just because you never know what's going to happen year to year with those guys.
Secretly really jacked or jazzed about Albers.
Yeah, for $2 million.
$2 million, and he's really, like, the perfect midpoint of, like, someone that Robin will lose in a game that they're losing, who isn't, like, going to absolutely burn the game down. Like, he's not Dana Webb. Because, like, Robin's so rigid,
Robin's
it, like,
also,
will use...
Like, Robin's burnt Daniel Webb down, too. Like, just decided, you suck, so I'm going to use you a ton.
Yeah. He also did a bit of that with Dan Jennings last year.
That's true. Didn't Dan Jennings have, like, a 4-inning appearance once?
It's like, yeah, it was, like, 3 1/3 or something like that. Where he was, like, going through the Royals' freaking batting order, like, the second time around in extra innings in, like, a career-long, like, outing while Daniel Robertson was still in the bullpen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, man, I forgot that, with all that we've talked about the offseason, I kind of forgot how much I hated watching Robin manage a baseball game.
That's one nice thing about the offseason, is you don't really have to think about that so much.
He's really bad.
But the team is good. I mean, the Zips projections are good.
I think the team is legitimately good. Well, depends on what your definition of good is, but I think they're as good as... I mean, the Royals are the weird team always. Like, they're pretty damn impossible to peg, because you want to say, oh, well, projection systems don't like them. and you want to say, well, they're well, projection systems just don't know what to predict because they were wrong last year. But, like, I don't know. It's really hard. There are legitimate reasons to think the Royals are going to regress this year. And then there are also the Royals, and last year I thought there were legitimate reasons that they were going to regress, and they won the damn World Series.
2014, I thought there were legitimate reasons they're going to regress. 2013, I thought they probably overachieved to win, like, what was it, like 86 games or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's really been a lot of reasons to not believe in them the whole time, but...
Yeah, which is... But I don't think they're going to run away with the division by any means. I think they're worse than they were last year. I think they're maybe about as good as they were the year before. And I think their rotation is... it's still a weakness. I mean, maybe Edison Volquez really did figure out whatever it is he figured out.
And yeah, but is he a number one figured it out?
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's opportunity there. The Indians, there's an argument the Indians, when the offseason began and they and the Royals didn't have Gordon locked up or any of their free agents locked up, there's an argument that the Indians had the best roster in the AL Central, and now they probably have the fourth best. They've done nothing. They just got Mike Napoli.
They don't have any money.
Why not?
I don't know. They never have. I don't question it anymore.
Didn't they sell it? Like, obviously there's no one at this games anymore, but didn't they have a stretch where they sold out, like, every game for a decade?
Yeah, they had the record until the Red Sox broke it a couple of seasons ago.
And they are supplementing their really, really good pitching staff. Though I do actually think their pitching staff is overrated, but it's still really good. They're supplementing that with Mike Napoli as their biggest acquisition this offseason. Their best offensive player is going to miss at least a month, it looks like. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing.
Lonnie Chisenhall is their number one right fielder?
Jesus.
Brantley's in left field.
Oh, is he playing? Okay.
They're probably going to trot out Rajay Davis, Abraham Almonte, and Lonnie Chisenhall. Or Colin Coghill. I guess it's a Chisenhall-Coghill platoon.
That's so bad.
It's projected really well with Zips, which makes you think more about our Zips projections.
So I wonder what the platoons... Like, I mean, you're kind of...
I feel like every platoon kind of got overrated in Zips.
Also, yeah, you're giving a lot of credit to, like, say, well, we spent a lot of time here complaining about Robin Ventura and how he does things, so, like, you're kind of giving him the benefit of the doubt on properly deploying platoons.
Yeah, I mean, he was really good about Connor Gillespie last year, and then that didn't really matter. The roster kind of, like, position players kind of fell apart, and he gave Adam LaRoche way too many at-bats versus lefties, considering he was, like, negative weighted runs created.
I can kind of excuse him on LaRoche, because by the time it was clear that LaRoche was just totally screwed, I think the team was just kind of... It was kind of clear the team was kind of toast.
Yeah, I mean, he could have... It wasn't very important by that point. He just, like, he didn't show, like, skill.
Oh, I mean, I totally agree. I think he's terrible.
Didn't Robin actually say towards the end of the year that he was trying to only use LaRoche in situations that would, like, help build his confidence going into next year?
The only thing that'll help build his confidence is if his back isn't just, like, destroyed, which I don't have confidence. I don't have confidence in that.
I mean, that's the thing that's historically bothered him. Wasn't it a knee issue at the end of last season?
That is true.
I mean, he's, like, 36 now, so there's nothing that's probably not bothering him, but...
Knee's still better than a worse back.
Yeah. God, he is already 36. He's not even, like, turning it soon.
Yeah, Zips gives the DH position, which is currently on Zips, Mike Ault and him, one win, which is way more aggressive than I would, like, optimistically peg for them.
I don't think Ault's going to be on the 25-man roster.
No,
maybe that's my wishful thinking, but
I hope he's not.
And what about Jerry Sands?
Zips also
give a lot more chance of that. Like, Ault can't hit at all, and you don't really need him to back up third.
Yeah, but how many fifth outfielders are you going to have on this team? Shucks is a fifth outfielder type. Avi's a fifth outfielder type. Sands is a fourth or a fifth outfielder type.
You wouldn't just play Carlos Sanchez? I know his arm isn't really great for third, but...
For third? Why would you play him at third?
Like, you have Mike Ault. What do you have him do?
Oh, right. I think you have him face lefties as the DH, is why he was listed on the Zips roster. But, yes, I really don't think... I'm with you that I don't think Ault has a position. If he is on the 25-man roster, something went horribly wrong, and they definitely didn't sign Dexter Fowler, which is arguably something going horribly wrong.
Or anybody. I mean...
Yeah. What would you guys think about, as a total long shot, of going after someone like Ryan Braun?
I'd be a fan of pretty much anything at this point that was an aggressive short-term investment that tried to seize on the opportunity the next 2 years.
I agree, except I legitimately, as much as I would appreciate them doing the move, I would not want, like, Carlos Gonzalez is not where I would go. But yeah, so that's how I feel about Braun.
Even when you got a Jerry Sands like platoon partner to put him with?
I mean, I guess, like, if you get him for little, but you know, like, if you're paying a solid percentage of his salary, you know the Sox are going to say, oh, the salary is prohibitive, and he's getting paid, what, like $19 million a year? Like, he is a very expensive player. I don't know. I mean, I'd be for it. Like, I'd be happy if they acquired Carlos Gonzalez, but it definitely gives me the most hesitance of any of the names they could even potentially be linked to.
Well, I mean, Braun's making the same amount of money. Braun's making, like, $20 million a year.
Yeah, but Braun's better. Like,
yeah, I agree with that, for sure.
So yeah, I mean, Gonzalez is not the guy that I want. I mean, but again, I'd take him. I'd take, like James said, I'd take anything that's an aggressive move short of them going out and getting like fucking Andre Ether, as has been for some reason a popular opinion with people. I would not want that. Andre Ether is not good. Except apparently he's really good at hitting. I guess he's really good at hitting righties and incredibly terrible at hitting lefties. But he's making so much money. He's making almost as much money as Carlos Gonzalez is. And he'd make no sense for the Dodgers to trade because they're probably the only team in baseball that can spend $19 million a year on a platoon partner.
He's the guy in that Molly Knight book that kind of came off as the villain to me as far as the players go. Apparently he's a dick.
What did he do?
He was constantly shown as being like a selfish, you know, non-team player, kind of bad for the clubhouse type of guy.
He like pushed Puig out of a window or something?
isn't Puig the guy who got a lot of crap in that book?
He got some crap, but he was also talked up a whole lot, and a lot of stuff was chalked up to, like, you know, cultural misunderstandings and just youth.
Wasn't the one of the takeaways of that book that Zach Greinke, like, totally hated Yasiel Puig?
Yeah, that was definitely in there. There's the story about how he took, I don't remember what happened. Basically, it ended up that Greinke took Yasiel Puig's luggage off of a bus in the middle of, like, Michigan Avenue and chucked it down the road.
Yeah, I did not understand that story whatsoever. And I definitely didn't understand how it made Greinke look, or Puig look like a bad dude. It made Greinke look like a dude.
Yeah, having not read it at all, it was just like, man, Puig really looks bad here. Greinke, like, threw his freaking luggage out of there. It's like such a weird logic, like, man, this guy did something atrocious to him. Just think of how awful the thing that inspired it was.
But I guess because, like, Greinke is very well liked. Like, it's kind of like, it is kind of surprising given Greinke's reputation that he would dislike anyone that much. I mean, I obviously don't know.
I kind of get the feeling that Greinke dislikes most people. He's just not really all that loud about it.
That's a distinct possibility. Kind of like me. Just kidding. I like
it. So bizarre without the context to hear. It's just like, man, like, goes into the back of a restaurant and murders the chef. Like, think how shitty the meal must have been. I probably wouldn't oppose Ethier that much. I mean, it's not a smart move at all, but, like, now you got someone who's going to crush the shit out of right-handers. That's better than we were today.
And then you could put Avi out there against left-handers.
Yeah, where he'll be, like, not great and not really worth his the offense.
No, but I don't think that that trade doesn't make sense because the Dodgers are the Dodgers would have no reason to trade that dude because they're the only team that he has more value to them than he has to literally any other team, save for maybe the Yankees.
Yeah, the appeal to them is a salary dump, which they don't need to do. They get for their reward for ditching him is that they get to play Carl Crawford more, which is not really great.
And like trading to pay for Ethier is like just fucking sign Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, like that's kind of how I feel about both Gomez or Gonzalez and Ethier is just Dexter Fowler is gonna provide more value, and also like there are the rumors that they really do want a center field type, like they're out there, like there's. There were definitely whispers that's why they weren't, they said before the Frazier deal that they were considering moving Avi to a corner, but obviously they moved, or not Avi, Eaton to a corner, but they obviously moved Trace. So, I mean, it's possible that they want a center fielder just really bad. Fowler's not a great center fielder, but if you have a not great center fielder in right and not great center fielder in center, those two combined for a pretty solid half of your or two thirds of your outfield.
Looking at Dodgers like depth chart, do they just want to give us Trace back? I mean, what are they going to do?
They're going to platoon him with Jock.
But they already have like so many platoon bets in that freaking depth chart.
They have so much depth. They decided.
What are they going to do with Kike?
They have 17 starting pitchers on top of all that offensive.
Yeah, that's like they decide. Friedman decided instead of the normal.
They're gonna wreck during split squad play in the spring training. That's what he's trying to do.
Friedman decided that instead of the normal super rich team style of like going out there and like signing Greinke and also adding David Price or something crazy like that, he's just like, I'm going to sign a fuck ton of players.
We got freaking Van Slyke, too. I forgot about him. There's, like, six rosterable outfielders there.
They also have GM depth.
Yeah. They got Anthopoulos now, too.
Who is E. Hernandez?
That's Kike.
Kike.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they got too many guys. That's six outfielders. I counted correctly.
So, well, actually, think of it like, so with all these players that they do have, like obviously everyone can't make the roster. So, what happens at that point? Are there going to be like people perched and ready to scramble after these guys when they get cut in March?
I don't want any of the guys the Dodgers are going to cut. They're going to cut
unless they cut Trace.
But Trace has options.
Yeah, does he?
Yeah, I don't think he was added to the 40-man until this year. Hmm. They're not so assuming I'm right about that, and Trace has options. They'll probably cut Alex Guerrero.
It's gonna be even funnier when Micah is in spring training, and they're like, "Holy crap, he has to go to the outfield too."
No, wasn't the reason why he wasn't moved to the outfield when he was here because he's like is really bad at reading fly balls, like absurdly bad at reading fly balls.
I thought it was more like his arm is bad and has hurt in the past.
He's just like a lot cooler on paper than he is when you actually watch him play baseball. Like he's fast, he can kind of hit. Like his minor league numbers are all solid. seems like a good dude, too.
He has good at-bats. He just can't put a charge into the ball at the end. But his approach is, you know, professional.
Right. And then you watch him play in the field, and it's just like, what the fuck? What's going on here?
Just send Trace back, man.
I mean, even if you're getting Trace, like, even when the Sox had Trace, like, my off-season plan was always, let's sign Yoenis Cespedes, I always wanted Upton. Let's sign Upton, put Trace in center, Eaton in right, or Eaton in left, Upton in right, and Melky to DH. Like, that was my big off-season plan. And then they got rid of Trace, but they still even if in this hypothetical world where the Dodgers just gave Trace back, I still would want Fowler.
Now we're the assholes with six outfielders.
Well, I think at that point you get rid of all your really bad outfielders.
Well, and then Avi's no longer an outfielder, right?
Avi's no longer on the team.
Oh, that reminds me of the dark days of Dion Vecchietto taking infield practice. He's gonna be a first baseman now. It's like he's a terrible hitter.
Why does this always happen to us?
What?
The bad people, the Avis and the Dians of the world, like.
Well, we're trying to think of like what issues to resolve. We could talk about Chris Sale. He's really awesome.
No, I'm just saying, like, as Sox fans, why does there have to be why is every guy we get Avis Sale and Diane and Gordon Beckham? Remember when we had to talk about the Gordon Beckham signing last year? That wasn't fun.
Gordon Beckham is a good reminder that one-year platoon splits are really garbage. And
lesson learned.
I mean, lesson should have already been known, but like that's a good like recent reference point.
That's even like we just wanted it so bad. I think we even said, each and every one of us, like, well, it's only this amount of time, but maybe... just wanted it that bad.
Remember after April, we were like, we should just play Gordon Beckham all the time. And then by June, we're like, well, this is the end of his career.
Yeah, he's got a home. He's got a place to play.
Yeah. Did he sign with Atlanta?
Yep.
A blatant tank job.
Hey, Dave Cameron says there are no tank jobs in baseball this year.
It's just different types of tank jobs. Half the NL is tanking.
I know, and there are people
who... The NFL, too.
There aren't really tanks in the NFL, are there?
Not really. It's kind of hard to... I think if you try to tank in the NFL, people die.
Also, if they don't... If you tank in baseball and your fans stop coming, that's one thing. In football, like, you're royally screwed if you don't sell out your games.
But also, if you just, like, put an intentionally bad offensive line out there, like... your quarterback suffers, like, a life-altering injury.
Quicker than he would have.
It's not like the NFL actually cares about its players.
I care about the quarterbacks.
Not the quarterbacks that a tanking team is... Usually when you're tanking, it's because you want the quarterback in the you're going to get in the draft next year. That's why you suck for luck or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that the Colts really cared about Brock Osweiler's long-term... No, that wasn't him. Whoever the
Curtis Painter is what they had in their tanking year.
Yeah. Who was starting for the Panthers before they got Cam? Was it Delome?
Now you're challenging my football knowledge just a little too much. I think they played Matt Moore a lot.
Oh yeah. This is when I actually knew football. I don't know football anymore. Now I know Cam's cool and I watch Panthers games and that's about it. But back then I watched Red Zone every day because my parents had cable. Now I have no cable, so I have no way to watch football.
I know Curtis Painter is a Purdue grad, so 40% of our listeners are going to be thrilled with this podcast.
So the 2 out of 5?
That's not what the numbers are.
4 out of 10.
5 out of 12.
It's not 40%, asshole. It's
roughly.
Yeah, but...
whatever. So, how about those spring training unis?
That's what I am on the agenda, and those things are hot.
I'm gonna be at spring training and I'm totally gonna buy a hat.
I had to go to spring training if I had.
Yeah, you can. But get it, sure, whatever.
Well, I've got to buy one at spring training because then I don't have to pay shipping.
There are lids in Madison, yes.
Yeah, but actually, there's none within walking distance. I spent there used to be one on State Street, and last year at one point I spent like half an hour walking up and down State Street looking for it, only to realize that it was no longer there. And I don't have a car, so I just walk everywhere.
Is it too radical a concept to suggest those as alternates?
I would love that, though I love the 83s too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, like, I know that obviously our Twitter circles don't reflect the average fan, but I feel like everyone loves these so much that I can't imagine the Sox, like, don't see that, you know? Like, everyone's like, oh, these are really cool.
Then again, like, I think most of the spring training uniforms for teams they rolled out were pretty great.
Yeah, but
there were some bad ones. The Tigers, for instance. Most.
Like, a lot of the times those spring training, like, they don't necessarily feel like a major league uniform. The White Sox ones definitely do.
The Royals should definitely make that hat, like, just wear that for the year.
I'm assuming the Indians ones don't have Chief Wahoo on it, so that would inherently be an upgrade.
I mean, they wear that sea hat often.
Yeah, I actually like that sea hat a lot.
The Tigers ones are like Marlins orange.
Yeah, they're bad.
No one should be orange except the Marlins. The Marlins can do it because they're weird in Miami.
Yeah, their hats look pretty good.
That orange, that bright orange, really offsets the I don't know what of Detroit's theme. The metallic. What would you call Detroit? If you were going to give Detroit a color, what would it be? It wouldn't be
Little Caesar's box.
Oh, God, if that was the inspiration.
You don't know that it wasn't.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Putting a crown on your helmet, your hat, right after the World Series victory is pretty great.
It's like those Giants in, what was it, like the 1905 season they had, or 1906 season, they wore the shirts that just said World Champions on them.
Why isn't any pro sports team ever named themselves the New York World Champions? Like, why didn't some team in the 1850s do that, or 1950s do that, and then everyone's like, oh, it's tradition, we can keep doing it?
Doesn't seem very professional or sporting.
Yeah, from
neither
does
a team called the White Sox. Like,
they were trying to make the job of newspaper writers easier in the 1900s.
There should be a team called the Detroit Champions. But no one is a champion in Detroit.
Except for you want to have an ironic name?
That's not what I was saying. I just thought a team should be called the Champions is all.
Let's have a team name that depicts the struggles that our city has gone through.
This Queen song really fits us nicely.
The Chicago effects of segregation.
or to make it less obvious, the Chicago Red Lines.
Yeah, I was trying to think of something with that line. Chicago closed mental health clinics.
The Chicago jailed, or I guess it's more an Illinois thing. The Illinois jailed governors.
That's how they could replace the Illini mascot.
I do like that the Joliet has a team named the Slammers. With the prison
right
there.
Reference to hitting, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but it's also a nod to the fact that the state prison is in Joliet.
They should not make nods to that.
Is that a minor league team?
Like, that's not an absolute accident. I think it's independent ball, but I'm not 100% sure what league they're affiliated with.
I need to get more minor league baseball hats, I think.
I drive by the Gary Railcat Stadium all the time between Elkhart and Chicago.
Railcats are sick.
What is a railcat?
Cats that hang out on railroads, I think.
Are you a big fan?
That just seems like a cool thing to do.
It looks like Heathcliff the cat swinging a huge rebar is their logo.
That's sick.
My friend from Gary went to one of their games. She said it was atrocious.
Just, like the baseball was atrocious?
Yeah, like 8 or 9 errors per team. She also went to high school with Jeff Samardzija and was not a fan.
Neither was
later.
Did Jeff Samardzija have great hair back then, too?
I don't think he did.
Well, he doesn't now, either.
Did he cut it off?
No, I don't like it.
Oh, you mean it's trash.
Oh, he's just talking shit.
I just step behind there. It'd be really funny if he just gets shelled throughout all of San Francisco. And it's like, yeah, he's just a bad pitcher.
He signed a 5-year deal, and it's starting on an even year, so he's got 2 World Series, or 3 World Series there, so it's a good deal for him.
Yeah, but the Giants have proven capable of winning World Series, even while their frontline pitchers are totally washed up and useless.
Speaking of washed up and useless frontline pitchers, do you think the Sox are in on the Tim Lincecum thing? They said, like, almost every team is.
He's totally, like, done!
Hey, they said there's, like, some 20-something teams interested in at least seeing what he's got going on. He's having, like, a pitch session sometime
in the next
couple weeks.
This is, like, a topic to get into. Like, it's logical that the White Sox would pick up, like, some sort of, like, back-end starter insurance guy, but, like, this list of people is, like, entirely toast. Like, Doug Fister signed today, like, I don't want to touch a guy with a 15-foot pole.
Why do people not realize, why do people think that Doug Fister is suddenly going to not be terrible? He was really bad last year, and his velocity was, like
86! It went down, like, 3 miles an hour!
Yeah, like, and then people are like, oh, the Astros made a smart move. A smart move for the Astros would have been spending a lot of money on a pitcher so that they're not relying on, like, Colin McHugh and Lance McCullers to be frontline starters next year. The Astros, like, have a lot of money and a really solid young team, yet their big off-season acquisition is a garbage 35-4-year-old, whatever, however old he is, pitcher who just has lost all his velocity.
Like, I'm trying to look at the list of available pitchers and who is, like, not toast.
And Gallardo?
It's, like, Giovanni Gallardo, who is not, like, the cheap back-end signing at this point.
There's one other name that people were batting around. I can't remember who it was.
Latos.
Like, there's Chad Billingsley, who's had, like, 2 Tommy Johns.
Latos is probably the best bet to, like, actually be a solid pitcher.
Yeah, but who wants that?
I mean, he's probably a really shitty person and seems
like a terrible really bad player. Last year, too.
Yeah, but I mean, unless you're paying him, like, Justin Masterson money, that's the one. If you can handle the fact that he seems like a total chode, you can probably. That's the one that I think of those guys that I think has actually a decent chance of being a solid back end starter. Like Lincecum's probably nothing. Fister is nothing. And
kind of like Aaron Harang out of the group.
He just got snatched up though.
He did.
Didn't he just sign with the Nationals? Or is that Bronson Arroyo?
That's Bronson Arroyo.
I still get those two confused.
They look nothing alike.
They were on the same team. They were on the
Nobody
Reds
looks
together.
Like Aaron Harang.
I get Gerardo Parra and Martin Prado confused. And I don't, like, they're like the same player, and they played for the. Didn't they get traded for each other or something? I don't know.
I don't think so.
See, I don't know. I don't know which ones played for which. I know they've both played for between the Braves and the Rockies for Parra and the Diamondbacks and the Brewers. One of them played for the Brewers this year. But that's what I'm saying. I get them so confused, and I have no idea why.
This list is Billingsley, Burley, who's toast, Guthrie, who's healthy but old and bad, Harang, Josh Johnson, who I think is 3 Tommy Johns, Latos, Cliff Lee, who's, like, I don't know, maybe can pitch again in life. Lincecum has been toast for, like, 4 years now. Kyle Loesch, who was probably maybe okay, was really bad last year, might have something, but I doubt it. Corey Lupke, who not sure if he's, like, still playing. Justin Masterson, who's, like, rebound to the rebound at this point.
Yeah, remember when people were like, oh, look at how prudent the Red Sox are for building this rotation with a bunch of twos, and then the rotation was a bunch of fives?
Oh, it was number two.
It was Mike Minor.
Most of my projections for last year showed how stupid I am when it comes to baseball, but I still will pride myself on being 100% right on how garbage the Red Sox were.
Alfred Simone, who's a criminal.
Yeah, that's something I'm definitely staying away with, especially because he's also just bad.
Is he a name searcher too? Eric Stoltz, who like gave the White Sox a really good spot start like 5 years ago.
Like, face them with a really good spot start?
No, like, he, like, was an NRI to spring training. He, like, just loafed around on the nights for, like, half a season. They brought him up, and he, like, held his own for, like, six innings, but he really didn't fit in any plans. So, like, they optioned him back down, and he, you know, wasn't protected. He just got claimed, and that was it.
I feel like he also shut out the White Sox once, like, longer ago, before he was on the...
Probably. He got claimed and then like hung around the back of the Padres rotation for a couple of years. Even though he had basically been out of major leagues when the White Sox claimed him.
Who is the guy on the... why am I forgetting the name of the guy in the Astros that was a White Sox pitcher? The Astros gave actual money for some reason after the White Sox let him go.
Like Lucas Harrell?
Yeah.
Harrell had like a good season.
That was like weird that he had a good season. Because he was really bad with the White Sox.
Yeah, he was, but he didn't look like, I don't know, devoid of talent. He just looked like he couldn't put together and frustrated the living shit out of Cooper, so he got ridden out of town.
Always an interesting thing with regards to the White Sox is the pitchers that they give up on. And, like, that's kind of why the fact that the White Sox gave up on Montas, or that they were willing to trade Montas after Coop got to work with Montas, makes me even less, like, not regret giving up Montas. I think I phrased that wrong.
I get you. I mean, I can't say it enough that Lucas Harrell had one good season and was awful afterwards.
But he did get actual money, right? Not Scott Feldman money.
I don't think so. I think he just claimed him. Like, I'm sure he got, like, decent ARB awards after that season.
And then I think they pulled him from the rotation and he was mad about it. I remember him being mad about it or something.
Well, yeah, because it was like he got pulled from the rotation of the 2013 Astros.
We're spending way too much time talking about Lucas Harrell.
Well, you know, if they're looking for a back-end starter, they could probably pry him off the Astros. I'm not sure if he's in the org anymore. He's a fourth-round pick.
A White Sox fourth-round pick is like most teams' 17th-round pick, though.
Yeah, he was abroad last year. He was in the KBO.
Seems like a route of a lot of White Sox farmhands. I think Diane's going to mash the shit out of the Japanese league.